Please be seated. There was a time in the 60s and the early 70s when young people, formerly known as hippies, began to grow up and get married and have children, although not necessarily in that order. But they didn't have kids that they named Emily or James or Stephen or Catherine. The names had to be more expressive, like moonbeam and earth, dusk, essence, aura. And eventually these kids started going to school. That's when a kindergarten teacher in Santa Cruz, California, first met her student, Fruit Stand. Now, every fall, according to tradition, parents bravely applied name tags to their children, kissed them goodbye, and sent them off to school on the bus. And so it was for Fruit Stand. The teacher thought the boy's name was odd, but so were a lot of the other kids' names, and the teacher would just try to make the best of it. "Would you like to play with some blocks, Fruit Stand?" she offered, but no response. "Fruit Stand, would you like a snack?" Still, no response, but at least he accepted hesitantly. And by the end of the day, to be honest, his name didn't seem much more odd than clover or stingrays. And at dismissal time, the teachers led the children out to their buses. "Fruit Stand, do you know which one is your bus?" And again, he didn't answer. But that really wasn't that strange because he hadn't answered them all day long, and lots of kids are shy on their first day of school. But his lack of response also didn't matter because the teachers had instructed the parents to write the name of the child's bus stop on the reverse side of their name tags. The teacher turned over the name tag to determine the bus stop, and there, neatly printed, was the word Anthony. Names are important. They are a huge part of our identity and how we view each other. But the truth is, it's easy to get a name wrong, which is what I think makes today's gospel lesson both important and confounding. Jesus wants to know who people think he is. And maybe the disciples aren't sure. Or maybe they're just reporting what they've heard because people think Jesus is everything from John the Baptist to a prophet. Okay, Jesus says, "Then who do you say I am?" And even though Scripture doesn't tell us this, I got to believe there was a pause, an awkward pause there for a minute before Peter answered the question. I can just picture the disciples thinking to themselves before they respond, "But maybe this is a test," wondering what they ought to say. But Peter's got the answer. "You are the Messiah, the Son of God," he proclaims. Good answer, as the disciples nod their heads in agreement. And evidently, Jesus himself thinks enough of his response to provide Peter with the keys to the kingdom. We all know this story. But do you remember what happens next? Spoiler alert for next week's gospel text, but that same faithful Peter is going to be called Satan by the one he's just proclaimed as the Messiah. What do we make of that? How can the rock upon which Christ built his church in the next breath be compared to Satan? Maybe it's because, like you and me, Peter's human. He's human. Who is Jesus? I asked the kids that, how they'd answer it. Now I ask you, how would you answer that question? If that question doesn't strike the fear of God in you, then I don't know what will. I know that more often than not, I'm kind of like the folks in the crowd. The folks in the crowd who treat Jesus as someone like John the Baptist or one of the prophets, you know, treating him as if he were merely a great man, an example to follow, or someone to inspire us. That's not what I believe. But the truth is, actions speak louder than words. And I imagine I'm not alone in that. It's the disconnect we all have between the words that we say on Sundays and the lives that we lead the rest of the week. And I know it would be so easy today for my sermon to devolve into something of a well-intentioned guilt trip, but that's not my style. Instead, I see this as a challenge for each of us, a homework assignment, if you will, to spend some time this week pondering our own answers to that question. Who do you say Jesus is? Think about it. But don't answer with churchy words or just repeat the creed or some text from Scripture. Instead, who do you say Jesus is? Who is he, really, to you? And your answer is as good as anyone's. What do we actually mean when we say that Jesus is Messiah, Son of the living God, Lord, light from light, God from God, begotten, not made? Because we can't actually align our lives with that confession until we understand what that confession means. But be honest with yourself. Because the only way to name, the only identity we can assign to him comes through how we live our lives. If you sit down and do that this week, I think you'll find that exercise to be a little daunting. I did, because I did it this week. So I'll go first, as imperfect as my understanding might be. To proclaim Jesus as the Messiah, I think, is the way that we connect with a God who's bigger than our understanding. And so God came to be like one of us, to show us how God feels about us. It's a glimpse, I think, into God's heart, a heart that aches for us. And like an adoring parent is always eager and to welcome us home in grace and love and forgiveness. I think Jesus came to show us what's possible, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And even when the odds of life seem stacked against us, there always remains hope. I think Jesus came to show us what compassion means. That rather than letting people starve because there's not enough to go around, he both literally and figuratively fed them. I think Jesus came to encourage us. To encourage us to never be satisfied with or limited by the way things are or have always been. But that love is more powerful than hate and fear and even death. I think Jesus came to show us that the least among us matter. After all, that's where he spent most of his time. And he calls us to do the same. Maybe that's just a start. But deciding who you believe Jesus to be can make all the difference in the world, in your world and the world around you. And it's easy to be like Peter and proclaim who we believe Jesus to be. But it's hard as hell to live our lives in sync with what we believe. And that's the part I think that matters the most. I know I will fail miserably at that over and over. But then again, I'm not Jesus, and you're not either. But it is in the power of trying that the world is transformed. Because the thing is, I don't think Jesus asks us to confess who we believe he is for his sake, but rather for ours, that we might get caught up in the gracefulness of his love and his life, rooted in the power and possibility created by seeing God's heart laid bare in Jesus Christ. Who do you say that I am? Jesus asks. I told you what I think, as imperfect and incomplete as that may be. Now it's your turn. God love you. Amen.